I still believe without any question that Jesus is the answer. I don't think I need anything else but Jesus. I think He fills in all the gaps and all the shortcomings, and where I can't, He does. And when I'm not able, He pulls me up. When I can't climb out, He lifts me out. When I'm sinking down, He unplugs me and gets me moving again. When I don't feel like I can move, He makes me move. He gives me movement that I never had before. I really believe that He's the answer. There's no question about it. And when I read these verses, to me, it's like Jesus is crying out to every person that will ever read these words, try me. Try me. Give me a chance, I hear Him say. Give me a shot at fixing it. Open up the door of your heart and let me in and let me take care of it. The scripture says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. I still believe that the Savior is knocking on the heart's doors of humanity and saying, give me a chance. Just let me have a chance at fixing it. Let me have a chance at it. I remember when I was just a young child, I didn't know much about Jesus. All I knew is Grandma said I could talk to Him like a friend. That's all I knew. I knew that if I prayed, He'd hear me. I knew that He was a friend that stuck closer than a brother. My grandmother taught me that as a child. Didn't know much anything about all that. But I remember when Jesus came and started knocking at my mother's heart's door. I wasn't a Christian. I didn't know much about Jesus, just a young person. But my mother was a heroin addict for 13 years. And I grew up in a drug-infested home. And my life was a wreck. If you could look at my life back then, you never would say where I am today is possible. But I want you to know Jesus fits. And that's my point I want to make here this morning. But I remember when Jesus began to deal with my mother. It was a very, very trying time for me as a child, because I heard the doctor say, if your mother overdoses one more time, she will not survive it. And I heard those words, and as a young person, all I could imagine was death and pain and heartache, and maybe even my brother and myself being separated and put into a foster care situation, and growing up distant from my family and not knowing anything. All I could think of was the pain and the heartache that all that would cause. And I remember the night that Jesus came to my mother. I'll never, ever, ever forget it. The greatest testimony of my life is when Jesus came and told my mother, try me. And my mother came out of the bathroom, and she had just got done shooting up her shot of heroin, and she looked like death warmed over. She passed out right there in front of me in the living room, and I helped her. I woke her up a little bit and helped her get to the couch, and she laid on the couch coming in and out of consciousness. And all I could remember was Grandma said that if I prayed, Jesus would hear me. That's all I knew. I didn't know anything else. I was just a kid. I didn't know nothing else. And so I knelt down in the living room, Mama standing there, my hand holding onto hers, and I said, dear God, if you can hear me, please touch my mother. They'll separate us. They'll take us and put us in homes, and we'll lose everything. God, please do something. Don't let my mother die. And God came in the room. Every hair in my body stood at attention. And a voice, this is the first time I ever heard the voice of God. He spoke to my heart. It wasn't audible, but it could have been audible to me. And He said, Bruce, you leave me here with your mother. You'll go with your grandma to church tonight. And I left, and I got in the car with my grandmother, and my grandma said, how's your mom? I left her on the couch, passed out. And my grandma said, how's your mom? I said, she's fine. Everything's all right. I got in the car. We went to church. And when I came home, guess what Mom was doing? Making egg salad sandwiches. Blew my mind away. Blew my mind away. And I came in the kitchen, I said, Mom, are you okay? Is everything all right? And she said, yeah, son, everything is great. Matter of fact, we're going to start going to church together. I mean, you talk about making, I could not believe it. We went to church together. From that moment on, my mother was a changed person. I mean, fucking changed person. Everything changed in my mother's life from that moment. It wasn't till 5 years later that I asked my mother, what happened that night? And my mother said, Bruce, you'll never believe it. She said, when you left, Jesus woke me up and said, Lisa, you've tried drugs. You've tried men. You've tried bars. Now why don't you try me? Today my family is saved because my mother gave Jesus a try. Amen. Just give him a try. I'm telling you, Jesus will not fail you. He cannot fail. It's impossible. His character will not allow him to fail. And if you just give Jesus a chance, he won't just fix you. He'll transform you. And the world will never be able to recognize who you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that my mom tried Jesus. You know, when legalism is dissatisfying, try Jesus. Amen. When the world's falling apart, try Jesus. When you don't think you can make it, try Jesus. When the bills are too much and the income isn't enough, try Jesus. Amen. When you don't feel like you're going to be able to stand, give Jesus a try, because he can make it work in your life. Hallelujah. I hear his call. I hear his call. Do you hear his call? I hear him. He does his call. If you listen with your heart, it's not low. No, he shouts it out. It bellows out, and it's bellowed out throughout history. It's bellowed out. God's calling his people. Jesus said, come unto me. He's calling the people saying, come, come to me. He has the answer. He is the answer. He has all that you need. If you're depressed, he's got joy that you need. If you're falling apart, he's got the answer. And so today, this morning, right now, quit and quit failing. Quit holding back and give Jesus a try and open your ears and listen, because he says, come. He says, come. To the teenager who contemplates suicide, Jesus is calling. To the drug addict, bound and doesn't have hope, Jesus is calling. To the alcoholic who can't shake themselves free, Jesus is calling. He just says, come. He just says to come. But you gotta open up your ears to hear him. Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And Jesus says, come, and I will give you what you need. Come, and I'll give you the rest that you need. He has all that you need. There are times where I literally want to just grab people and say, don't you understand? Aren't you hearing him? There's so many things in life that try to block his voice. So many things that try to stop you from his words. So many things will get in the way. Distractions, people, church folks, individuals on the job, or even the job, or all the struggles of life can block out the very voice of God. And so you've got to train your ear to hear when the Spirit is moving. And when he's moving, good Christian people, they know how to step in to his move. But many times God's tried to move in this church. He's tried to bless, but you didn't step in, because your ears were hearing something else. Oh no, Jesus is yelling from the top of his lungs saying, come. Come. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, come. Jesus stood over Jerusalem. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you as a hen doth gather her chicks. How I would have brought you in. How I would have covered you. How I would have taken you in." When I read those verses, I can only picture the Savior crying, weeping in compassion and love for those he desired to bring in. Listen, Jesus is calling out to us, saying, come. And I want to give us a warning, because those who don't hear, Jesus says, woe to them. He said to Chorazin, where all the miracles had befallen, and Bethsaida, where the miracles of God had fallen, he said, woe unto you, Chorazin, woe unto you, Bethsaida, for if the miracles that had been done in you were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, it would have remained until this day. Listen, open up your ears and listen. The Spirit of God is beckoning you to come. Don't hold back. Don't stay there. The Lord's calling you and saying, come unto me. What I love about this scripture is that Jesus doesn't just say, come. He says, come unto me. Me. Underline those words in your mind. Me. You know, when my babies get hurt, they want one thing, mama or daddy. Mama or daddy. That's the first thing they do. One time, our dryer loves to make noise. No, our washer does. It's one of the two. It's God-awful when it makes the noise. So, you know, when the clothes get out of balance in the dryer and on the washer, and you know that noise I'm talking about? Well, one time my daughter Abigail was by the washer or dryer room, and all of a sudden this noise, and she come running, and she grabbed me in fear. And I go, it's all right, baby. And mama had to go and move the clothes around because it got off balance. My kids know that they can come to me and I'll put them behind me and I'll protect them. Jesus is, I want you to understand that he's not calling you to some other angel or to some other being or to some other thing. He's saying, come to me. This is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you got rules of do's and don'ts, I've got a relationship. You can keep the rules of do's and don'ts. I got a relationship. And my relationship tells me what I can and cannot do, but I do it out of a love motive. I love him, therefore I don't do. I love him, therefore I do things. It's not a religious motion. I have a personal God that loves me personally, and I deeply love him with all my heart. When I came, I didn't come to anybody else. I didn't go to Dr. Duflunkin. I didn't go to Mr. Know-Nothing. I came to Jesus, and he was my answer. That was Brother Dethridge coming out in me, amen? Dr. Duflunky. And notice that Jesus doesn't say, come to me after this. Notice, he just says, come unto me. No stipulation, no regulation. No, when you get it right, come. When you fix it, come. No, just come. Just come. It's just that simple. And I love this. Jesus is not exclusive. He calls all to himself. Come unto me, all. All. That word all means me. It means you. It means everybody. Come unto me, all ye. Every single one of you, come. Come to me, everyone. Jesus, you know what? I love this about our Savior. He could sit down with the rich, and he could minister and break bread with the poor. Amen? He could sit down with the religious rulers and talk to Peter, who knew nothing. Amen? He had no problem fellowshipping with the broken or the hurting or fellowshipping with the one who was a tax collector named Matthew, who had a lot of money. Amen. He didn't have a problem. He didn't exclude anybody. your status or who you are in this world means nothing to Jesus. The call to Jesus is for all of us. No matter your status, no matter your bank account, no matter who people think you are, I don't care if your grandma had been saved or your papa had been saved or someone else in your family was a preacher. The call is to you just like it was to them. You've got to come all on your own, brother. You've got to come all on your own, sister. And when you come, you bring all that you are with you. Every bit of yourself you bring to him. Jesus is not partial. He doesn't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. Amen. He don't care if you're a Trump supporter or a Hillary supporter. He don't care if you're protesting right now. I heard one preacher said this. She said, I want to protest. Who's with me? Amen. I can tell you right now, I'm feeling that in my heart. Amen. I'm ready to start protest. But Jesus calls everybody. You mean even me, the one that can't fix it? Yeah, especially you. You mean me, the one that's got such bondage in their life that I keep hidden in secret that I don't tell nobody about? It's really deeply rooted in my heart. You mean me? Yes, I mean you. All is inclusive. It includes you. It includes everybody. Jesus said, all that will, let him come unto me. Every single one. And what I love about his call is with Mary Magdalene, when she came to Jesus, Jesus didn't judge her. The church people did, but not Jesus. The religious people, when Mary Magdalene came in, she had her alabaster box and she broke that ointment and she anointed his feet and wept on his feet and dried his feet with her hair. When she did that, Jesus didn't judge her. He received her worship. He received it without judging her. But the people there said if they knew what kind of woman she was, if Jesus knew what kind of woman she was, he wouldn't let her touch him. But Jesus, knowing all of her sins, said, her sins, which are many, they are forgiven. You want to know why? Because the call of Jesus Christ is for every single one. Even a woman like Mary Magdalene, who has got a reputation in the community for not being such a great lady. Even the people in your life that you might say, well, they don't have a great reputation. But I want you to know Jesus is calling out to every single one. Jesus says, come to me and bring your weariness and your burden. Bring it. Bring the weariness and the burden. What is it that's weighing you down? What is causing you to feel weary? What is causing you? I feel this resonating in hearts right now. What is it that's causing you to be weary? And the Holy Spirit says, come to Jesus. The truth is, church, we all have weights. And a lot of us pick up a lot of baggage in our life. And we carry the baggage for years. And even after you give your life to Jesus, it's hard to let go of some baggage. Because sometimes it just clings on to you. One preacher said it's like patterns of an old life that don't easily leave you. I call them cling-on sins. They just kind of hang on to you as you go through Christian life and you keep praying through on them. You keep praying through on them and you keep praying through on them. It's one of those, just a part of fighting that old flesh. Paul said, I have to die every day to the things that I once was. And true, it is true for every Christian today that the weights of the world and the weight of this life can get into our life. But you know there's an answer. There's an answer, and it's Jesus. You got weights? Jesus has relief. You've got struggles? Jesus has relief. Bring the weight, the burden, bring what you're laboring. What is it that's causing you to labor? You're weary because you're heavy laden. You're weary because you're heavy laden. Your heart's heavy and you're weary because of it. You're tired because of it. You're exhausted because of it. Christian, you can be a Christian and become heavy laden. You know how it happens? You get so busy with life that you don't come to Jesus like you once did. And the spiritual things that once brought you joy are not bringing you joy anymore. It's because you're heavy laden. And what you have to do is you've got to come back to Jesus like you've always done. Like you've always. How many have ever had to come back? Oh, come on now. Every Christian in this place ought to raise their hand. Because after you got saved, you weren't God's perfect picture either. And I know in my life, I wasn't God's perfect picture of Christianity. But oh man, when I needed him, when I got weary, when I got heavy laden, when my burdens began to weigh me down, I just came and I linked myself up to Jesus and he would bring me through. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy labored and heavy laden. Hebrews said, lay aside the weight that doth so easily beset us. Lay it all aside. What I love about Jesus is he's not offended by your burdens. Sin can be ugly. Sin can be horrific in our lives. And what you don't tell other people, you can tell Jesus. There's some things I've put under the blood that I'll never tell you. Amen. Because I really don't want your judgment. There's an old saying about opinions. Everyone's got one. I'm not going to tell you what it is because it ain't appropriate for church, but everyone's got one. Amen. Everyone's got an opinion. And there's some things that I've tucked neatly under the blood of Jesus. And I said, Jesus, can you hide me here? And the blood covers. Jesus wasn't offended when I came to him and I said, oh Lord, I've really soiled this one. I really messed this one up. I really botched it. I really made a mistake. Oh Lord, I'm even a pastor, Lord, and I made a mistake. And when I come to the Lord, he's not offended by me. He doesn't go, well, look at what you did. Now you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna whip out the belt and I'm gonna beat you so bad to you're within an inch of your life. No, he doesn't do that. I come in humility and brokenness already. Broken because of who I was. And Jesus takes that burden and he lifts it off of me. And I love the scripture. It says that he cast them as far as the east is from the west. And we call that the sea of God's forgetfulness. That forgotten forever is the sins that you brought to Jesus. The weights and the laboring and the heavy ladenness of your heart was brought to Jesus and you gave it to him and it was under the blood. Listen, you don't have to live there anymore. Hallelujah. You don't have to live there anymore. You can move on because Jesus has already taken care of it. Amen? I love the scripture that tells us that when Jesus, in John chapter 4, he says, I must go through Samaria. I gotta go to Samaria. Now, I wish I had the time to really talk to you about how the Jews felt about the Samaritans, but I'm just gonna tell you I'll give you the overall picture. They didn't like them. Okay? The Samaritans were classified dogs in the Jewish mind of that day. But Jesus said, I got to go to Samaria. And when he got to Samaria, he sat at a well and a woman came. And the woman began to talk to him about water. And Jesus said, if you taste the water that I have, you'll never thirst again. She didn't understand what he was saying. And she said, well, I want to drink of this water that you don't thirst again. Can I have a drink? She didn't quite get it. But then Jesus said, what about your husband? And she said, well, I'm not married. And Jesus said, you're right, you're not married. You've been with five other men, and the men you're with now, you ain't married to him either. And that woman, all of her sins, all of a sudden, in Jesus' mind, were already known. I want you to know something. Jesus already knows. Amen. I said, Jesus already knows. And so you coming to him, is it going to be a shocker? Oh, what did you do? No, he's going to already know. Amen. So when you bring those things to the Lord, those sins to the Lord, and you lay them down at Jesus, he cleanses you from those sins. A great revival broke out because a woman went into town and said, come here, this man, Jesus, come and hear him. Listen, he told me everything I've ever done. And when they came out, a revival broke out in Samaria, the place that they said were dogs, the place where the Jews said, they're worthless, let's not go to them. But you know what? Jesus cares about all. Weary and heavy laden. See, Jesus wants to exchange your burdens for rest. Jesus said, I will give you rest. In other words, what he has is what you need. What he has is what you need. He's got the rest you need. He's got the peace you need. He's got the joy you need. He's got the strength you need. He's got the encouragement you need. Everything you need is found in Jesus. And all you have to do is come to him and say, here I am. All my burdens, all my weights, all my past, here I am. Take it, Lord. Take it, Lord. Take all of me, Jesus. Take everything. The word rest literally means to refresh. To refresh. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will refresh you. I'll make it fresh again. How many need a fresh touch from God? Amen. A fresh blessing from the Holy Spirit. A fresh move of God on your life. A fresh touch from the Lord. You know what? That's what we need. And I want you to know something, Christian. You need to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. And when you think you've come enough, keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. And I could do this all day because you need to keep on coming. The more you come, the more rest and refreshing you're going to get. But if you sit back and you're thirsty and you don't come, then you're parched because of yourself. Because Jesus has what you need. Quit laboring with your own burden and give it to the Lord. Quit laboring with it. Let me conclude with this. Jesus described how he intends to deal with us once we come to him. He describes it to us. Scripture says, I am meek and lowly in heart. Literally, that means I'm gentle. I'm gentle. Jesus said, I'm gentle. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly at heart. I am gentle. Jesus will deal with you, but he will deal with you by being gentle. That means when you come to the Lord and you're bruised by the world, he doesn't poke the bruise. He doesn't keep pushing on the sore spot. Amen? What I love about the Holy Spirit is that he is a gentleman. He will deal with you differently than he deals with me. Maybe he has to, I'm a stubborn guy, and God has to slap me. And sometimes I get slapped, and I like to be slapped by the Lord. That's who I am. I like that. It lets me know I'm loved. And I like that. So that's how God deals with me. But maybe getting slapped by the Lord on your side, you don't want to be slapped. And that's okay. Guess what? The Holy Spirit, he will speak to you just how you need him to deal with you. He is gentle. So when you come to him with your burdens and your heavy laden load, and you come because you've been laboring and you're weak in your heart, when you come to him with who you are, he's going to deal with you as a gentle Savior. He's not going to hurt you or offend you. He will always guard you and protect you. He is gentle. He is meek and lowly at heart. He says, he gives us his yoke. He said, take my yoke upon you, for it is easy and light. I love this word easy. This word easy in the Greek is loaded with meaning. What it literally means is that when a farmer would yoke his oxen, He would take the yoke and he would fashion it to the body frame of the oxen, because not all oxen have the same body frame. And so the yoke is important, because what yoke you put on them could hurt them or injure them and cause them to not be as productive. So a good farmer will find the right yoke to fit the right oxen. And the word easy literally means that Jesus will tailor fit his training in your life. That when he applies his yoke, when he said, take my yoke upon you, for it is easy, what he's saying is, it will fit just perfect. Jesus fits. And when he puts his yoke on you, it'll be just right. You'll be like, oh, this is what I've been missing. All this time is the yoke of the Lord upon me. How many remember when you first got saved? And how it felt when you just had that great yoke of Jesus put on you. How you felt like everything was wonderful. How life was so grand. How your heart soared in the heavens. And how everything was beautiful and everybody was beautiful. What you experienced was the easy nature of the yoke of Jesus Christ. And when he put that yoke on you, you felt just wonderful, because it fit perfect. And then Jesus said, my burden is light. I read a story that helped describe this. When a farmer has a young oxen that he needs to train, he takes the young oxen and he yokes it with a well-built and strong oxen. And they yoke together. The young oxen looks like he's yoked up, but in truth, he's just attached to the big ox. And a preacher was driving by and seen a farmer plowing with oxen, and he asked the farmer, how come this young oxen was so small? Wasn't he off? Shouldn't he have them even? Or, you know, there would be plowing mistakes. And the farmer said, if you look closely, you'll notice that the little oxen, he ain't doing anything. The big oxen is. You see, when you come to Jesus, you link up with Jesus. And he carries the load. Oh, thanks be to Jesus. Amen. He carries the load. Amen. Give him praise for that. He deserves praise for that. I don't carry the load of salvation. I don't carry the load of trying to fulfill the sacrificial part of the law. I don't carry that load. I don't carry any of that. I've linked up with Jesus, and he's the one plowing. And so now I'm just going to link up and let him do the plowing, because it makes my burden lighter when I come to Jesus. You need to come to Jesus because you've been trying to plow your own way. God said, did Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. You know what that means? That's farmer terminology for you. Behind the oxen, they would put pokey devices or pricks behind them, because when the oxen would kick, they would get poked, and it taught them not to kick while they were plowing. Listen, Jesus is plowing this way, and if you kick against the pricks, it's just going to hurt you. Amen? Jesus said, come to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You know why? Because Jesus fits. He's the right fit for you. He's the right fit for you. Father, thank you. Brother Phil, would you come? Thank you that you fit. God, I'm so glad I tried you. I'm so glad I tried you. Lord, there's so many things in life that I've tried that did not work. But you work. You fit. Father, there was a deep, deep hole in my heart, deep hole in my life until you found me, Jesus. And Father, I thank you that you fit and filled all my life. Every part of my heart and life, you filled it. You brought peace. You brought peace and life to me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can we stand together for a moment? Brother Phil, just sing that song. Sing it. Let's worship him.
Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
Come on, church, worship him.
And he is just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know.